Well, let me ask you something. When's the last time you heard a message about God's love? Anybody ever heard a message about God's love before? Yeah, I think that's one of the most common messages probably you'll ever get across the board from church to church. But you know, love is really kind of a confusing thing. I think a lot of people misunderstand what it's all about. And oftentimes we say we love all kinds of things. We say we love our house, we love our car, we love our family, which is a good thing. I've heard people say crazy things like, I love the Redskins. I mean, you know, just people love all kinds of stuff, you know what I mean? So, like, there's no end to how messed up and how just how messed up we can make love. But I can tell you, okay, there's my dig for the Redskins. I'm done, okay, really. But let me tell you, love is not just like an emotion. And I think a lot of times people think that love is kind of a feeling. It's kind of a fluff on life. It's kind of like this warm fuzzy we get. But a lot of times we forget what love really is about because it says in the Bible that God is love, and so love is the very essence of who God is. That's a very different thing, isn't it? So when we talk about love, we're talking about something much deeper. We're talking about the very essence of God in our lives, and so love is a very important topic for us to really understand. If you would turn your Bibles today to 1 John chapter 3. It's funny, Tom Seibold came up to me just right before the service, and he said, you won't believe what scripture I posted this morning on Facebook at 6:30 or something this morning, and it was this exact scripture. I don't know how many scriptures are on the Bible. We're talking thousands, and we happen to hit the same one same Sunday, so this is really cool. 1 John chapter 3, beginning in verse 18. I'm reading out of the message today. Here's what it says. My dear children, let's not just talk about love. Let's practice real love, right? Let's put it into action. Let's actually do something with it. This is the only way we'll know we're living truly, living in God's reality. Does anybody want to live in God's reality and not just the worldly reality? It's also the way to shut down debilitating self-criticism, even when there is something to it. For God is greater than our worried hearts and knows more about us than we do ourselves. You know, we have a chance to practice love all the time. A lot of times we talk about it. We talk about it in the Word. We talk about the truth that God loves you. Matter of fact, He sent Jesus to die for your sins, right? He loves you so much, and we could spend our time talking about exactly how much He loves you. But I want to go into another little area of what we're talking about here today, and that's actually practicing real love. I wonder sometimes, do we look at life this way, to where we think, how can I practice love today? You know, is this how we really approach love? Because I can tell you, we have time that we get to sit down with people and have conversations. And I wonder sometimes, like when we're having conversations with people, are we sitting down thinking about how can I love this person today and make sure that they know that they're loved? And I'm not talking about just the kind of love like I bought you something, I care about you, I just want you to know that, you know, give you the warm fuzzy. I'm talking about they actually have an experience with Jesus Christ through you. That's different, isn't it? And so we're talking about that kind of love. When's the last time we had that kind of conversation? Because I wonder sometimes, like as we sit down and have conversations with people like Charles, right? I'm just having a conversation with him. We're talking, and I wonder sometimes, like, you know, am I looking for things that are wrong in your life, or am I looking for things that are right, you know? Like when we're talking, what am I focused on? Am I focused on what I see? What am I looking for? Am I looking for mistakes? Am I looking for flaws? Or am I looking for what God is doing in his life? You know, am I listening for things like what things I can be praying for? Am I listening for things about what God's doing in his life? Or am I just listening for maybe what he's struggling with? You know, sometimes we get so focused on the issues of life that we miss out on the relationship that God wants us to have with people. But let me ask you a deeper question. What happens when you look in the mirror? You know, are you able to love yourself the way you are when you look in the mirror? I know a lot of people struggle with this. You know, it's interesting because some people will look in the mirror and I think women probably are worse than this at men, and I'll explain that in a second. But they look in the mirror, and they'll find out what's wrong before they see what's right. It's almost as though they're looking for something wrong when they look in the mirror. And then guys are quite the opposite. I've heard this as a joke, actually. We look in the mirror and like everything we see. I don't know what that's about. But maybe it's some sort of arrogant thing. I don't know. We'll deal with that in another sermon. But it's like oftentimes we look at what's wrong when we look in the mirror. You know, when it comes to having relationships with people and working with people or even the way we love ourselves, it's like we have the opportunity to see opportunities or to see issues. You know that? That's like what it comes down to in every relationship that we have. When I sit down and have a conversation with someone, I can be looking for what's wrong in them and I can be looking for issues and I can be critical or I can choose to love them where they're at, just as Christ loves me, just exactly the way I am. So we have those choices. We're going to see opportunities, or we're going to see issues. I can tell you, if you're practicing love, it breeds opportunities, because you're practicing love with someone. You're listening with the intent of seeing what's right in them and seeing what's going on in their lives and how you can be praying for them, and you're loving them. You're going to find opportunities to love them even more. Do you know that? But if you're looking for issues and you're looking to see what's wrong in their life, I guarantee you're going to find it, because here's the deal. If you look for issues, you're going to find them. That's just the way it is, right? You guys with me this morning? All right, cool. So we got to be careful with that. Practicing love breeds opportunities, and failure to love breeds issues. That's just kind of the way it works. And, you know, issues stem from criticisms. Anybody ever been critical before here? Okay, thank you, Bill. We got one person here. Thank you. One honest person. I can tell you that there are times in our lives where we are just critical of other people. You know, we hear things we don't like. They don't think the way we think. We're just different in the way we see things. And we tend to want to tear those things down. We want to find issue with people. And I can tell you, we were never called to find issues. We were just called to love people where they're at. That's it. And these issues stem from criticisms. And the thing about it is as we externally criticize people, we also start a little bit of dialogue in our head about ourselves too. And we can be critical of ourselves. Anybody here ever been critical of yourself before? And sometimes we get to that place. And I can tell you, this dialogue in our minds, this critical dialogue, it really leads to self-criticism for us. It leads to worry. It leads us to accusing things of ourselves and to self-condemnation. But when we choose to practice love, we begin to see opportunities and not issues. You know, when we actually take time, when we talk to someone, to look for the good in them, I can tell you, if you're looking for good, you're going to find it. Do you know that? There's good in everyone here. You know, there are times we need to be looking to believe the best in people and not believing the worst. And there's times that we need to overlook offense in our conversations. But it seems like so often we have these conversations with people. We're sitting down having this wonderful talk, and then they say something they shouldn't say to us, and then we're offended, and we're just kind of done with them. Ever been done with somebody before?
Yes, I have.
Yeah, I know what you mean, man. I know what you mean.
Sometimes that can be easy to offend. And that'd be
favorite. But here's the thing. We have a choice to be offended. Or we have the choice to actually overlook those things and just really begin to build a relationship and love people where they're at. You know, there have been lots of times in my life where I chose to be offended, and I can tell you, at that point in time, I stopped passing forward the love that God put into my life, and it was the very essence of God stopped flowing in my life because I chose to be offended. But the list actually goes on. If you want to really love people and practice love, here's the kind of thing you have to do. You have to allow people to be failures. Is anybody okay with people just being failures and making mistakes and maybe saying things they shouldn't say? I mean, we've got to be in a point in our lives where we're just okay with that. We're okay with people's differences because they don't think the same way we do, or they don't see life the way we see them. And that's really learning to practice love. And that's what it looks like when you're having a relationship with someone. That's what it means to truly love someone. This really provides an environment of love where we can begin to love ourselves the same way. Because when we give people that kind of latitude just to be themselves, and we just love them where they're at, it's easier to love ourselves too in the same way. And choosing to love is really choosing to live in God's reality. And that's God's reality. Well, let me tell you what that really is. God's reality is this. He knows we're imperfect, but that never affects the depth of his love for us. Isn't that kind of cool? That's like God's reality. So that's really God's reality in your marriage too. Is that your wife or your husband may be imperfect. I don't know how that works for you guys, but they may be imperfect. But the thing is, it doesn't affect the depth of your love for them. That's a picture of what God's love is really all about. And it could be a friend of yours, right? Makes mistakes. It doesn't matter. They say things they don't mean to you, but you've got to get to a place in your life where you love them anyway, and you're able to move past those things, because the depth of your love cannot be affected by the fact that they make mistakes. So the depth in which we mature as Christians depends on the degree to which we accept and to live in God's reality. That's like the whole point. I can tell you, if you stop loving people, and you stop pouring out that kind of godly love in your life, you also stop your spiritual development. And I don't know that I ever really totally put that together before. But the bottom line is this. When I stop loving people, I stop developing. That's like a really critical piece to my life, because it's the very essence of God flowing through me that allows me to do that. The reality of love is God's love in the midst of imperfection. And the thing is, with a godly kind of love that we have for people, criticism is really dead. You know, there's no place for it. There's no place for issues, and there's no place for offense. The scripture goes on to say this. And friends, once that's taken care of, in other words, once you get to God's reality and you understand you just love people the way they are, then we're no longer accusing or condemning ourselves. We're bold and free before God. Isn't that kind of a cool thing? We're bold and free before God. Not just bold and free, but we're bold and free before God. So when the criticism stops and we just love others and ourselves as we are, the accusation stops, the self-condemnation stops, and we're bold and free. And I'm not talking about a Donald Trump kind of bold and free. I'm talking about a bold and free before God. And you know how you get there? The way you get there is this, is that you take Jesus with you. That's the only reason why we can be bold in God's sight. You know that? Because Jesus goes with us. He's our righteousness. You guys with me on this? There's something about that that's just so interesting to me, about living this life that's bold and free. The one who is bold before God is the one who takes Jesus with him. And this is why. It says in verse 22, we're able to stretch our hands out and receive what we ask for because we're doing what he said, doing what pleases him. You know, this is part of living boldly, which can only happen in an environment of love. You know, there's something so important about, like, when we begin to love people and just accept them where they're at and, like, love them where they're at, even though they're flawed, we get to a place where we're really at peace with people, we're at peace with ourselves, and we're at a place where we feel like we can really hold out our hands and receive everything God has for us. But, you know, when you're being critical of people and you're being critical of yourself and you're not in a good place spiritually, it's really hard to hold your hands out and say, God, give me everything that I need in my life, because you don't feel worthy. And I don't know if anyone here has ever been to a place where they don't feel worthy, but it's easy to get to that place. Unfortunately, there's just so many Christians that lack this boldness, and they wonder if there's anything for them to receive. You know, I've asked people before, do you think God will heal you? And they say, you know, maybe, I don't know. I don't know if I deserve it. I can tell you, we don't deserve anything. Do you know that? But God pours out his healing power anyway. You know, there are a lot of people who think, you know, healing's for someone else, but I'm not sure it's for me because I'm not sure I'm where God wants me to be. And the whole thing is this. If you're in a place where you're pouring out love the way God wants you to, and you're not withdrawing it from people, then you're experiencing the fullness of God. And that's such an important part of our lives. There are times people feel like provision's not for them, or blessing's not for them, or even spiritual gifts are not for them. But it all stems from our inability to live in God's reality. Like, I don't know about you, but I want to live in this place, in God's reality, to where when I have conversations with people, I'm in this mindset the whole time that I just want to love them where they're at, and I want to pour myself into their lives. You know, I don't want to sit and listen to what's wrong. I don't want to be critical. I don't want to tear things apart. I don't want to be mean and cruel. I just want to sit there and listen to them so that I can hear the things that I need to be praying for and encouraging the things that I see that are right. But I wonder sometimes, do we think about that kind of love when we have conversations with people and sit down with people and have relationship with people? Or are we looking for issues? You know, for a large part of my life, I looked for issues. I was always this guy that was kind of analytical. And I don't know why, but I was always kind of like sizing people up. Have you ever done that before? So when I sat down, I was more sizing them up to decide who they really were before I was really loving them. And I don't want to ever be in that place again in my life. You know, I want to be in this place where I just openly love people where they're at, because the thing about it is, I know and you know, we're all flawed. You know that? We all make mistakes. We all get to a place in life where we don't always do things right. We always do things that make sense. But we always appreciate the fact that God loves us exactly where we are. So we need to get to a place of God's reality. And you know what God's reality is? It's the reality that our imperfection and the reality of his unconditional love for us in the midst of it. I don't know about you, but I don't want my love for people to be conditional upon their perfection. You know that? Because they're never going to get there. I mean, I don't know if that's what you guys expect, but it's so interesting. I do marriage counseling. And it's interesting to see that when one partner finally realizes that the other one isn't perfect, they get really disheartened about that. You know what I mean? When one person's made a mistake, they're just so blown away by the fact that they made a mistake, like they didn't see it coming. And I can tell you that even in the context of marriage, people make mistakes. Do you know that? But we love them anyway. You know, people are always in this place like, you know, do I have an out? You know, this person makes a mistake in a marriage. Do I have a way out of this thing? And the bottom line is, you're called to love them no matter what. Do you know that? There are biblical grounds to leave, but I want you to understand something, and this may matter to someone here today. That's not in my message, but I'll say this. You don't have to. You don't have to leave because you have biblical grounds to leave. You don't have to leave because they've sinned against you. You don't have to leave because they've done something you felt was unpardonable. You have the choice to love in the midst of it all. Isn't that cool? That's living bold and free in the face of failure, right? The scripture goes on to say this in verse 23. Again, this is God's command to believe in his personally named Son, Jesus Christ. He told us to love each other in line with the original command. As we keep his commands, we live deeply and surely in him, and he lives in us. And this is how we experience his deep and abiding presence in us, by the Spirit he gave us. Living deeply and surely in him is spiritual health. And I don't know that I've ever really thought about what it means to live deeply in Christ, using those words. Of course, this is the message. But living deeply is this. When the depth of our love for ourselves and others is unaffected by our flaws and failures, that's living deeply. And I wonder sometimes, how deep are we really in the way that we love ourselves and people? How far will we go in our love before we cut it off? What do they have to do? What do people have to say to us to make us stop loving them? For some of us, that's probably a pretty shallow little pond. And for others, it may go very deep. But you see, with God, it's infinitely deep. Love goes beyond all failure. And I wonder, is that the kind of love that we have for people? I mean, this is the Bible standard. This is what the Bible's called us to. It goes on to talk about living surely. And living surely is our personal experience with the infinite love of God. I am so secure in where I am, and you are so secure in where you are, because God is going to love you no matter what you do, and no matter what mistakes you make, and no matter where you go. Is that good news to anyone today? Amen. That's the truth. That's living surely. But we're called to live deeply and to live surely. The surely part's always there, right? We know that God's love for us is there. That's a given. God's always there for us. But the living deeply part is really up to us. You know, we've got to make a decision at some point in our life that we're going to push beyond everything that's ever been a relational showstopper for us to get to a place where we will love no matter what. And I wonder how far we'll go with that. I wonder how deep we'll go before we cut it off. I don't know about you, but I want to live deeply, because I can tell you this. There have been times in my life where it was very easy for me to sit down with people and to talk with them and to just love them where they're at, and it doesn't matter what's going on in their life. I felt like I was so overwhelmed in love in that moment with them, and like everything was okay, and it didn't matter what was going on. And there have also been moments in my life where I was very critical in the way that I thought, and so as people would talk to me, I would begin to criticize within my mind. And I think that all of us have been in both places, haven't we? You know, that we can really overlook things at times, and at other times we're very critical. But the thing about it is I don't want my spiritual development to stop there anymore. Because I realize that as I become critical and I stop my love for people, or I cut it off at some point, that I no longer develop beyond that place. And I can tell you, I'm not okay with where my spiritual development is today. I want to keep going. Don't you? Amen. But when I let love stop flowing in my life, my development stops at that point. That's very critical for us as Christians, because for a lot of Christians, they're at a standstill because they choose not to love. And I say choose not to love because it's a choice of yours. You can blame the people who are unlovable all day long and tell me how horrible they are and how you're not able to love them because of the way they are. But the bottom line is this, is that you choose to love and you choose not to love. But those are your choices, right? And it's interesting because as Christians, we tend to categorize people just like everybody else does. Like, oh, I'll love that person. That's no problem. That one there, I'm going to keep an eye on them. And that one, I don't have any use for them, right? I mean, oftentimes we tend to categorize people and we put them in these places. And I can tell you, if you continue to withhold your love from people, doesn't matter who they are and what their background is or where they come from, when you begin to hold your love back from them, your spiritual development stops and you're not going anywhere anymore. And for some of you, maybe that's okay, but it's not okay for me. Like, I don't want to get in this place in my life where I'm stopped growing because I can't love. That's something between me and God. That's something God has to deal with in my heart, because I never want to cut people off. Is that where you're at today? But we do it, right? I bet you all of us can probably think of a couple people that we consider in our minds to be a bit unlovable today. People that we may have cut off, people that we may have decided we're not going there anymore with, that we just can't get there with them. That every time we sit down, we tend to have differences. The conversation tends to be about issues and differences and not about us just loving them where they're at. But is there anyone willing to push past that so they can live deeply? Is there anyone willing to push past the fact that there have been a lot of issues in a relationship so you can get to a place where you experience the deep love of Christ, because it's that living deeply that changes your heart toward people too? The whole thing is kind of cyclical. You choose to love, You choose to love unconditionally and watch the deeper and deeper and deeper you go. And the deeper you go with the Lord, the more able you are to love people where they're at all the time. It's a really cool thing. It's a cool reality. You guys still with me? You know, it's this process of living deeply and surely that we experience His deep and abiding presence through the Holy Spirit. If we cannot say that we haven't experienced this living deeply and surely in God, then we have to look at how we love other people. How are we doing with this, by the way? Are we doing a good job loving other people in our lives, or are we tending to hold people back? How are we loving ourselves? If our lives are filled with relational issues, or are our lives filled with relational issues or relational opportunities? I mean, when you sit down with someone and have a conversation, are you thinking to yourself, I wonder how I can love this person today? Or are you just listening and waiting to see what happens? I think we have to be very purposeful in how we love people in every conversation that we have and everything that we do. Because if we don't, we just let life happen. And I don't know how many of you let life happen, but I can tell you, when you're in a conversation with someone or you're sitting down having time with someone and you're not thinking about loving that person, the thing just goes wherever it wants to go. Do you know that? The first time they say something that seems a little off to you, or they say something a little offensive to you, the conversation goes to a different place. But if you sit down thinking, you know what, today I choose to love them with the love of Christ. I choose to overlook anything they might say or do to me because I want to love them, and I want this to be a real, like, purposeful outpouring of God's love today. And if I sit down and have that conversation, I'm listening for what's right, and I'm seeing what God's doing in their lives and the challenges they're having. I'm praying for those things. It changes the outcome of our conversation, and it changes my relationship with God. And isn't that ultimately what we want? We want people to have an experience with Christ through us. Do you know that? Like, we talk about people seeing God's love in us. Well, they see it because you actually purposely sat down and chose to love them. Like, even in the midst of a strange conversation or a difficult time or whatever the case is, anybody here ever had a difficult conversation with someone? Well, did you sit down and have that difficult conversation with them with the concept of loving them first before anything else, or did you just want them to hear your side? You know, like, we get in this place sometimes, we want to be heard. You know, we want this thing to come out the way we want it to come out. We want to have a conversation that's going to set the record straight. And in the end, what we need to do more than anything is that when we have this conversation with people, that when they get up from the table, they know they were loved today. Is that possible even in the context of a difficult conversation? It absolutely is. It is. You know, this is why we can't be flippant about the way we love people. You know, we can't constantly have issues with people. Do you know that? You know, there are people I run into every once in a while who come to me and they'll say, I'm having a problem with my husband, I'm having a problem with this, and I'm having a problem with that. And I'm like, if you're looking for issues, you found them, you know? But have you ever thought of just like loving people, loving your husband and loving the people in your life first before you found the issues with them? You know, sometimes we need to begin just to look at the people and love the people. We can't be flippant about it because it's your spiritual development. It's the very essence of God flowing in your life that's being messed up. And some people are just kind of like, well, you know, I do my best to love people. You know, that one over there I can't stand, and that one over there is, you know, pretty cool. I like them. And these over here, I can handle all that. I like them. And we tend to, like, kind of have this whole smattering of people in our lives. And I can tell you that this is not just a choice. This is not one of these things where, you know, you can just do what you want with it. If you're a Christian, you belong to the Lord, your directive is to love them. That's it. So you can't just have life your way and I just get to do it all. I can just treat these people this way and that way and so forth and so on. It's your spiritual development and it's the very lifeblood within you that's being compromised. That's a very different thing. You see, if you see love as just something like a feeling and the warm fuzzy of life, then you'll choose to withhold it here and give it over there and do whatever you want with it because it's almost like icing on the cake. But I can tell you, it's the very essence of Christ in your life. And when you choose to withhold it, you choose to withhold your witness from people. You choose to withhold the very love from God that they need. That's serious, isn't it? We're not talking fluffy stuff anymore. This is serious. This is part of our life as Christians. So that means we can't have these issues with people. We can't have constant offense. We can't let our love be compromised. We can't even act disrespectfully with people. And we certainly can't show indifference toward people. These types of behaviors keep Christians immature. and insecure and unhappy and critical and living shallow and unstable lives. And it's all because we choose not to love openly. Who guessed love was so important, huh? Love is a critical, critical issue in our lives. It's the very lifeblood of who we are in Christ. You know, as you consider how you love those around you and even yourself, where do you fall? I mean, if there were a number line here, somehow saying the ultimate in love and the worst, I suppose they'd be infinite in both directions. Where would you fall? Do you see any room for improvement in the way you love people? And I mean everyone, right? Even to the most difficult people in your life, to the ones that are easy to love. Do you see room for improvement? You know, I don't want to have anyone in my life that I withhold love from in any way. Even if we're different, even if we don't see things the same way, whatever the case is, I just want to love them where they're at. Is that where you're at today? Let me ask you, do you want to experience living deeply? Anybody here? And I'm talking about loving past where you've ever loved before. And how about surely? And of course, living surely is easy because it's based on Christ's love for us, and it goes no matter where you've been, no matter what you've done, no matter how many failures you've experienced in life, that He's there for you all the time. If this is your heart's desire today, that you want to live deeply in God's love and watch yourself continue to spiritually develop even in the midst of making relationships better every day. If this is where you're at today, I want to pray for you today. Could we just bow our heads and close our eyes for just a moment? Father God, I just thank you for your word. I thank you that your word, through the power of your Holy Spirit, speaks to our hearts. Lord, today we want to live deeply in you. Lord, we want to experience the depth of your love, but it requires us to make a decision and a choice to love those people in our lives and not look for issues, but to look for opportunities to love even more every day. Lord, I pray that you help us to push past the things, the critical spirit, the critical dialogue that goes on in our minds toward people, Lord. And I pray that you help us to push all that aside, Lord, so that we can begin just to look at them as your creation. That when we look in the mirror, Lord, that we're not looking for flaws in us, Lord, but we're looking for Christ in us as we look into the mirror. Lord, I thank you that you're taking us to this place, Lord, that we can begin to see what's right and what you're working out. And Lord, be okay with the fact that people are failed and they're imperfect. Lord, I pray that our love is never dependent upon people's perfection. Lord, I thank you that you love us, even in the midst of our imperfections and failures. Lord, I pray that you take us to a deeper place with you. Lord, help us not to withhold our love, because we need to understand that today, Lord, our spiritual development hinges upon our ability to love. So, Lord, take away any limitations and restrictions that we have, Lord, so that we can love openly and receive all that you have for us. Lord, we thank you and just praise you for all you're doing in this place, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Can we continue with our heads bowed and our eyes closed for just a moment? There may be someone here today who says, I've never accepted Jesus into my heart, but I hear what you're saying about God loving me exactly where I'm at. And I want to experience that love firsthand, and I want to receive Jesus into my heart. And if there's anyone here today that's ready to make that decision, you say, I'm ready to accept Jesus Christ into my heart. If you would just lift your hand today, I want to pray a prayer over you today. Thank you. Is there anyone else today? Thank you. Anyone else this morning? Praise you, Jesus. I just want to lead you in this prayer between you and the Lord. Father God, I come before you today. I accept your Son Jesus into my heart. Father, I'm sorry for the life that I've lived. But today I choose to do things your way. Father, as I go forward with you, change me from the inside out. Help me to be the person you've called me to be. Lord, I thank you for loving me, even in spite of my failures. Lord, help me to love people the way you love me. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. Can we thank the Lord for what he's done in this place today? Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Could we have the prayer team come forward, please? Today I'd like to close the service, and we're going to have our prayer team up here in the front. If you'd like prayer for anything, we want to invite you to come forward today and receive prayer for whatever's going on in your life. Some of you today may need a healing over a physical issue in your life. Some may need just, there's an issue that you have that you need God's intervention in, but they'd like to pray for you today. So if that's where you're at today, we want to invite you to come forward. Let me just close in prayer. Father, I thank you that you're with us here today. I thank you for the time that we've had as a family to open your word and just to listen to all that your Holy Spirit's pouring out. Lord, I pray that as we leave this place today, Lord, do you give us opportunities just to love people differently, Lord. I pray that as we have conversations today, that we're thinking about how we can pour out love into their life, Lord, not to be critical about what we hear or anything, Lord, but just to love them where they're at, just like you do us. Lord, I pray that you give us those opportunities, Father, and help us to walk forward in that so that we can really begin to experience spiritual development on a deeper level. Lord, I pray your blessing over each and every family represented here today. I pray that you go with us in strength, in power, Lord, and in your peace. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Have a wonderful day. If you'd like prayer, please come forward.